Hey everyone, just a quick note. Been having a little bumps in the road with recording the show. Most of them are completely my fault, especially today. There's a kind of my end is muffled and there's a little bit of an echo, but the content is still great. And I ordered some new audio. I ordered a new headset to try and solve this. I broke my favorite podcast microphone. I don't know if I told you that. And that costs a small fortune. So yeah, the show's good. It's just a little, the quality's off, the people are not. How's that? All right, here we go. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. It's the eclectic DIY show. My name is Eric. I have this podcast and also a YouTube channel by the same name. Joining me today is my co-host, Nicole. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, what's going on?
I have two customer service stories to talk about and how I prevailed.
Okay, I'm excited to hear about this.
And then we're going to talk about leasing an electric car, which is a story from that you wanted to share.
Yeah.
Should we just go into it? Should we start?
Yeah, let's just do it. So what were you buying? How were you getting customer service?
So Garden Fork is an LLC. It's called a sole member pass-through LLC, I think that's called. But because I don't know if the word is hate, I'm just not very good at financial housekeeping. And so at the end of the year, instead of doing it every month or having an app that helped me, I go through my checking account and I write into a spreadsheet that my accountant gives me, you know, the different expenses like travel or research or, you know, cable internet bill, you know, all that kind of thing. So I go through everything that was spent that month and I started to see a bill for like, I don't know, $16 a month from Audible. And I'm like, I didn't sign up for Audible, right? And I remembered that the camera operator had gifted me an audiobook, the Atomic Habits book.
Oh, yeah.
And I started listening to it. And I don't know, if they don't click with me, if the person reading it doesn't click with me, I can't listen to it.
Yeah, you got to move on.
And so I didn't listen to it. And, you know, me not paying attention, I didn't realize that when you download the book and the app on Audible, because they have, you know, have my Amazon account information, they'd started billing me.
You had signed up for Audible at that point.
Well, I guess if by downloading, by logging in with my Amazon account, I guess I started, I didn't know that. I thought I was getting a free book. I didn't know I had to pay the $16 a month to listen to the free book, which I thought was a little ironic.
Now, do you guys have separate Amazon accounts?
Yes.
Okay, so we share ours. And then, so the Audible books are shareable, like, you know, we both open them up. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because, all right, well, I learned that. But anyway, so I went to the Audible site and then the customer service and a billing issue, you know, and they didn't have a phone number and email. They just wanted to do the chat thing. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be a bot, you know.
Right.
But I started talking to this person and I was pretty sure it was a person and not a bot. And I told him the same story I just told you. And I said, I'd like to cancel the account and get a refund because I had no idea. I wouldn't have started listening to the book and downloaded the app if I knew it was going to be billed at $16 a month or whatever. And they were very nice about it in the text. And they're like, well, are you sure you want to leave? We'll give you two free books to listen to. You know, or we could, and if you pay for it by the year, it's less. And I'm like, I appreciate the offer. I was very polite and they were very polite. And so I knew they would have to go through like four different things that they're told to do.
Right.
And they finally, they were offering me, I think, some kind of incredible deal, but I'm like, I just don't use it, you know?
I really don't want it.
And I'm trying to cut down on all these little expenses that eat up all your money. And so, okay, well, I fully refunded your $89. And like within seconds, I got an email from my, the bank or something that I had been gotten this deposit, this refund. And then the guy kept on talking and he said, by the way, you can also use Audible to listen to podcasts. And I said, oh, you should check out my podcast, Garden Fork Radio. He goes, oh yeah, I'll go check that out. And so we both stayed positive. I didn't scream.
Right.
And I prevailed. You're just polite but firm.
Right.
So while I'm going through this same checking account, I see a $256 charge from a video live stream platform that we tried out. It's an add-on to YouTube. It's called an open API in YouTube. You can put, we used it twice 2 years ago. You can put, they're called chyrons or lower thirds. It can look like a TV show, you know, it can look like the local news. And I discovered it's really well done, but I discovered you basically need someone to help you run that. And I kind of like, it's hard, as you know, it's hard for me to get any, to follow up on appointments and stuff. So I emailed, and I logged into the account I had for that company because I use 1Password. So right. I have all the passwords in one place. And I looked, and I had used it twice in year one. And then they billed me for year two, and I had not used it. So I emailed their tech support, and I said, hey, you know, I told them the same story. I'm going through my taxes. I'm not very good at checking it every month. And I see this charge. Please refund my money. And they said, oh, well, we don't do that. We'll only refund your money if it was in within 7 days of the charge. And I replied to the person, look, I said, I know you're just doing your job. Can I speak to someone higher up the food chain? And I literally said higher up the food chain.
Right.
So then I get a message, which comes through your email at this point, from a higher up person. And they said, you know, we don't do this. We'd be happy to offer you a discount on your next year. And again, trying to keep me. And I said, I'm sorry, I really don't need the service. And I checked my email archive. I said, I never got an email, a reminder email saying I was going to be charged.
Right.
Adobe reminds me, Netflix reminds me, Apple Plus reminds me, even Food Blogger Pro, which is this great community site if you want to build a content. They're like, hey, we're going to charge you the $25 a month on the 10th of the month or whatever. And everyone sends one.
Right, right.
And so I said, look, and I replied, I said, thank you very much. I know you're just doing, you know, what you're supposed to do. I'm going to go higher up the food chain. And I'm ready to talk to the president of the company because he has a video on the landing page. And I'm already formulating what I'm going to say to the person.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to talk to my state attorney general. I'm going to talk to my senators because one of the senators of our state lives around the corner from me. You know, well, not literally, but he is a neighbor. I see him in the diner, you know. And
right.
I was going to say, and I will tell everyone I know that I'm not happy with your company. I'm not threatening to sue them. I'm not going to like, oh, I'm going to, you know.
Right.
I just was polite but firm. And I sent that. I didn't say all these things. I just said, I never got an email. And so the person replies back and goes, by the way, I'm the head of billing. And we don't send out billing reminder emails anymore because our customers complained of getting too many emails.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, that's your marketing emails that they don't want to get. Isn't it like a law that you have to send someone a reminder, you know, hey, we're going to ding you?
I don't think so, because they probably was probably in your original thing that you signed that you would, you were signing up for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And so she went back with that and I just said, look, I understand you're doing what you have to do. I'm going higher up the food chain. I never got an email. Oh no. And I said, let me just relate to you a thing that I've learned in business. And I have this phrase, which I think I've said here. If you do a good job, if you have good customer service, your customer might tell one or two people. If you have a bad customer service experience, that person will tell 10 other people.
Exactly.
And that's how I left the email. And then within 5 minutes, I had my refund.
Oh, that worked out.
Staying positive, but firm, polite, you know, and karma is boomerang. I really believe. And these people are just doing a job. They're, you know, they might be vested with some stock in the company, but they want to go home and watch Netflix just like you do, you know?
Well, a slightly adjacent story. Years ago, my sister bought a jacuzzi from Costco. And, you know, they've got the return policy, right? You can return anything. So she bought the jacuzzi. And 2 days after the year warranty from the jacuzzi company, it wasn't actually a jacuzzi. It was a hot tub, I guess. Jacuzzi is a name brand. Yeah. And the motor went out or something went out. The panel went out. So she calls up. She's like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, well, you call up Costco and you tell me you want to return it. And she's like, well, I can't return it. And I was like, oh, that's the policy. You didn't make it up. So she calls her Costco, and apparently they can take like 3 returns of jacuzzis a quarter or something. You know, they've got like a limit of how many they want to take back.
Oh, wow.
And so they're like, no. Mm-mm. And so Erica calls me kind of in a crisis because she's got this jacuzzi that I think it's unfixable because of the, you know, we're pretty handy. We can fix things, but this was unfixable. So, by us, I guess. So I'm like, well, we should just call the president of Costco. And she's like, you can do that. And I was like, well, yeah, you can do that. So we get on a 3-way call. We get his phone number. We call up. His secretary answers the phone. Erica explains the situation. She doesn't really know what to do. She's got this jacuzzi. 15 minutes later, they're calling to schedule the repair to get it all fixed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was nice. Erica was just like, what am I going to do? I have a dead jacuzzi.
Yeah, it works. My plan, if the head of billing department still said no, I was going to write a postal letter to the president of the company. You know, just being frank, look, I know you're running a company. I know it's hard in this world, but I think the tech industry takes advantage of the terms and conditions button everyone clicks. And I think it's what you're doing, I think, is wrong. And I'm going to tell my legislatures. And the state attorney general in New York State is a go-getter, let's just say politely. You can Google her and see what she's doing right now. So, and I was like, if you're just consistent, and I just want to emphasize being polite. If you scream, I think that fails.
Right.
So I had a job when I was a contractor, went to this lady's apartment. She was super nice. She says, oh, I've never had a contractor in here before. And she was relating to me how her father had just recently died, and I'm like becoming her best friend. And we get in, and there's this glass case that's about 2 foot square and about 5 foot high with little shelves in it. And it's full of antique Japanese wind-up toys.
Wow.
And I'm like, this has to be moved for us to work. And I'm not sure I have insurance to cover moving that kind of thing.
Right.
And so I said, we're not insured for this and this needs to be moved. She goes, well, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, okay. So we slid a furniture blanket under it and we moved it over. I just said, if we break it, it's not our fault. She's, oh, okay. So in the meantime, a buddy of mine had called me and said, hey, I got a friend who needs a job. He's good at painting. Would you take him on? I'm like, okay. You know, so I let this guy on, and I said, took him to the bathroom. I said, tape off the whole bathroom and prime it. And then, you know, around lunch, I swing by to see how he's doing. And I see what looks like broken green glass on the sink. And I said, what's that? He goes, oh, that's some jewelry thing that I broke. I'm going to tell the lady at the end of the day. And I'm like, no, you're not. You tell me right away. You know, so I go find our client because she's hanging around while we're painting. And I said, look, we had a little accident in the bathroom. And she just looks at me and goes, I already know about it. She goes, that's the jade bracelet my father gave me when I was 14.
Oh, Jesus.
And I just looked and I said, I'll take $400 off the bill. And she said, okay. And I didn't make any money. That was the profit out the door. And I never hired that guy again. But if I had said, oh, we're not going to cover that, or you have to file through our insurance, she would have told 10 people that I'm a lousy contractor. You know? I mean, how do you try and screw someone on something like that, you know?
I mean, I'm also going to put it on her a little bit. Like, you know, people are coming into your house. Put this stuff away.
I know. Yeah, I could have said that, but it wouldn't have worked out well for me.
No, saying that's not helpful. Yeah, nope. You did the right thing. I mean, I roll over anytime anybody's not happy with pictures. I'm like, great. You want your money back? Great. Here you go. Yeah. Please don't leave me a bad review. Here's your money back. Yeah, I'm taking the pictures too, but yeah, if they're not good enough for you, that's fine. Let's all go in peace.
So I was just very happy. And it also, I think Intuit or there's a couple of home accounting programs that you can link into your checking account. And it, using fuzzy logic or AI, whatever, it starts to learn what all the different deductions are, the different costs that go through your business or personal checking account, and puts them in categories every month. And I'm pretty sure it'll email you a kind of a statement of where things are going. And there's another company that offers to find all these little $20 charges. And if
yes, I've been getting ads for that.
And if you don't want them, they will work to cancel them for you. So it's worth it. So that's basically $300. It was $89 for Audible, $250 for the thing. So that was with $320, $330.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot of money to me, you know?
I use a free accounting website called Wave Accounting. I've been using it for years and totally easy to use, web-based. And, you know, I just put in, you know, all the money I make and then Brent's really good at keeping all of the reports. So he runs a report for me of our expenses and I put them all in and then it makes a nice report, which the best thing for me is that it's free. I was going to say, Jack Harkin always said, you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar.
Yeah. I can attest to that.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad that went well.
I am too. And it just makes me go find that software and hook it up, because I could do that every month and save some time and money. And because immediately after they said no, or the streaming company, and they do, I think their product is good. I just think their customer service needs some work. I don't want to name the company because they follow through, but I just forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Move it along.
Oh no, I got really wound up in my head. The hamster wheel kicked in about here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this and this and this. And then it started to ruin the evening, you know. And I'm like, the camera operator comes home, I'm going to make dinner, we'll watch a program or something. And it started to grind on me. And I know at that point I have to meditate. But to avoid that, just check your checking account every week or month.
Right? Oh my goodness. Okay, so. Break, next topic. So you love your ID4. I have a friend around the corner. She just bought an ID4. I want the new Volkswagen Bug or the bus, you know, that's going to be electric. And we saw one when we were in Europe last year. And so I went to Volkswagen and signed up to get there. Like, tell me when they come.
The electric microbus.
The electric, because it's so cute.
Yeah.
And the president of Volkswagen kindly sent me an email the other day, and it had information about, like, I don't know, this and that, maybe a little bit about the bus might be coming at some point. And at the bottom of the email, there was a deal, and it was like, hey, you can get an ID4 you can lease one for $3,500 down and $299 a month for 3 years. And I was like, God,
wow,
that seems like a really good deal, you know. Is that real? So as listeners know, we're going on the GRT this summer, the Great Road Trip, and we've got the Nissan Leaf, which we're not taking on the road trip, and we've got the 2006 Toyota Highlander, which is getting a little long in the tooth. So I was like, maybe the ID4 is the solution for us. Like, we could take it. It's, you know, got a longer range. Maybe it would work. And so, of course, I'm texting Eric, hey, have you done any long road trips with the ID4 yet? You know, we're looking at charging options. And so we were skiing in the middle of Pennsylvania. And so I just called up a Volkswagen dealer. I was like, is this real? Like, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. Like, can we really get it for $299 a month? And the kid that I talked to was like, oh, yeah. I think, well, let me look. I think yes, but let me look. So we end up, we go in, we try one out. And the manager there was, I appreciated he was a straight shooter. He's like, I was like, is this really a deal? And he's like, probably not. he's like, it's a bait and switch to get you to come in. And I was like, oh, well, I appreciate your honesty. But then he ends up doing some more digging around, and he's able, including tax and tags and whatever, he could give it to us for $351. It was the S. So it had the sunroof, or what, not moonroof, I guess the moonroof. And it's a beautiful car. But at the end of the day, we were like, this isn't the use case. Like, we need a replacement for the Highlander that we can take skis in. And this just isn't, it's just not quite big enough for that. So I felt bad because the kid was like, well, why aren't you buying it? And I was like, he's like, we got you a really good deal. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't suit our use case, like, at the end of the day. But God, it's a beautiful car.
Yeah, it's and it's a challenge to keep it clean with the Labradors. And up at our little house, we have a dirt driveway, you know, it's a dirt driveway. So you're like, and it's just, and there's mud all over the car. And I'm like, this is our really nice car.
Now, have you ever sprayed the driveway with oil?
No.
That's something we used to do. People did in Montana. I don't, to yes, keep the dust down.
They did that in Missouri too, until there's, I don't know if you're, well, you're probably guys are all, if you Google Times Beach, Missouri, They had a contractor oil all the dirt roads, and he got his oil from the General Electric plant.
Oh God.
So the town was it was dioxin or PCBs or something, but the town was full of it. They bought the town, the federal government bought the town out, and it became kind of Missouri's version of Chernobyl, you know?
Right.
And now it's a nature preserve. You can see it from the highway. You can still see the old roads and some homes and stuff.
Okay, well, so two things on that. The town where Grammy grew up, Herculaneum, Missouri, was the same thing. It was a depot, and there's lead, from my understanding, there's lead throughout the town. And so they had to buy the town, and Herculaneum's pretty much gone now. I mean, they kind of moved some stuff away. But, and then there was one other thing about that, I forgot now.
We haven't had enough coffee yet today.
I guess not. It's kind of early for both of us. Well, oh, that's the other thing. I wanted to ask our listeners if there are any literary agents out there, because I have my book about Grammy that I am trying to find an agent for. So if anybody's out there, shoot an email to Eric.
So that would be radio@gardenfork.tv. Is this a nonfiction or fiction book?
It's a true life novel is what I'm calling it. So it is Grammy's life as true as I can make it. But, I've made up stuff because I wasn't there for conversations and whatnot. So I don't feel confident calling it like a biography. And her life was crazy. So she grew up in an orphanage because her mother didn't have enough money to feed her after her father left. Then she went into service, which means she, you know, was a chambermaid in somebody's house, and then got married, got pregnant, and then her husband died in World War II. And so then she was a 19 or 20-year-old World War II widow with a baby, and she got married again, and Mr. Miserable, as we fondly refer to him in our family, embezzled millions of dollars from the state of Illinois as part of the Hodge scandal. And so there aren't any books about World War II widows, which is interesting from their point of view. There were 100,000 of them. And so I've what happened to these women after their husbands died?
Yeah, back then, especially.
Right? So it's told from a first person. It's her point of view, and she's telling the story of her life to the reader.
Wow. I think the key in your pitch would be there aren't any books like this.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take notes on that. That's good.
Here, yeah. Book pitch expert.
Well, there are a lot of experts out there. But that is, now I have found a number of books about World War II that have recently come out because, you know, next year is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. So that's also a big milestone.
Oh, it's huge. It changed the world. Thanks to some fortuitous weather.
right?
Interesting how weather played into this nation's America becoming independent from the UK, or England at that point.
Right.
I'm in Brooklyn. There was what's called the Battle of Long Island or the Battle of Brooklyn. I'm in the 40s. This was on 3rd Street, where my friend is the head of a nonprofit of the part of the battlefield. But the British, the Americans were on Brooklyn, and the British were coming for them. And under the cover of fog, they escaped across the river and got away. Otherwise, the British basically would have annihilated the American troops, and the war would have been ended up very differently. But because of the fog, they were able to travel over to Manhattan, I believe. The historians are yelling at me right now. I'm mangling this, but basically, because of some fortuitous weather, we are Americans instead of British.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah. There is a, on PBS, if you become a member for $6 a month, which I am, and I get an email from them every year telling me I'm re-upping my, it's called Passport is their member program. Mm-hmm. But on the Apple TV app or on the Roku or any of those, you can download the PBS app, and there are all sorts of programs that don't make it to your regular PBS channel. And there is a documentary about Franklin Roosevelt and Benjamin Franklin. Man, we're screwing up this morning. Benjamin Franklin.
I was like, okay, we can go to, that's fine, FDR, we can go there.
But basically how he went to France to basically ask them for money, and he got them to give America money under the table. And then he finally got them to openly support the battle for independence, essentially aligning itself with the Americans in a war. And it really turned the tide. So every once in a while, people disparage the French, but they another reason why we are Americans is because of the French.
Huh. What did he give them in exchange? Louisiana?
Well, we actually bought that from them too.
Right, but later on.
Well, we gave them, like we give them meatloaf and french fries and stuff like that. You know.
Best life. Speaking of which, do you guys have any trips planned in the future?
We're going to go to Berlin.
I'm so excited for you.
Because right outside Berlin is the Rothschild Museum.
Yes.
Because if you must all know this by now that I am part of German royalty. So
yes.
This is exciting. I can't believe we have a museum.
Oh my gosh. So now, what season are you going?
In the fall, we'll go.
Go in the fall. Okay.
I think we like to go after, in New York City, there are hordes of tourists in the middle of winter, but I'm thinking when we went to London, we went in the fall and it was really nice. And so I'm thinking we'll go to Berlin and it'd be really nice too. So.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, there's a street named after us as well. And there's a woman named Silke, S-I-L-K-E, who watches the YouTube videos, and I think you listen to the podcast as well, who sent me pictures of Rathausstrasse. You know, it's in an industrial area, so it looks like an industrial street.
I mean, I looked it up, but I wasn't able to get over there the last time I was in Berlin.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I'm going to go check it out. But like the one picture she sent was the street... pole was kind of crooked, you know, like a truck had hit it or something. And I'm like, that's not very German to have a crooked street sign.
No, it is not very German.
So,
all right. Berlin's such a great city. I love Berlin. Okay.
Black bug is my next thing here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Just quickly, everyone. We have got these really small black bugs. They're not fruit flies. They're not, I don't think they're coming from our drains, but I did pour the enzyme fruit fly drain stuff down all of our drains. I have these little sticky things in all my plants. I don't think they're coming from the plants. I cannot figure out the little black bugs. And Brent wants me to call an exterminator, but I'm like, if I don't know where they're coming from, what's he going to exterminate? Or they, what are they going to exterminate?
You're just going to spray everything.
And I don't want that.
Do you have bananas in the kitchen?
We do, but No, not anymore. I just put them all in the freezer.
So this might be true for other fruits, but sometimes there's an insect that will lay its eggs in the skin of the banana, not in the fruit, but in the skin, and they will hatch in your house and fly around.
Ugh. Okay. I mean, that's interesting because DC does have this new composting pilot program, and we do have a composting bin. But what's weird is they're little flies. I don't know how they could have flown all over the house. I don't think they have enough energy to get places.
I don't know.
A picture of them.
I mean, a lot of times it's fungus gnats coming from the soil of your plants, but if you have the sticky traps and they're not landing on that, then that's ruled out.
Well, and there aren't any, yeah, who knows this? There aren't any plants upstairs. Now, I do have a picture. Can I post a picture? I'll post a picture to the Patreon. See if anybody helps us.
And we can put it on the Garden Fork Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
Which I am not on Facebook a lot. If anyone wants to become the moderator there isn't really much to moderate. But anyway, all right. That'd be...
Okay, good. I took pictures.
Black bug right. Conundrum. If anyone has any... Or I can, if you want to see the pictures, I can email them to you as well. So... Everyone. There you go. Wow, what a great show.
Yeah. Well, okay. It was nice to check in.
Customer service, be firm but polite. And realize the other person is, they're just doing a job. So Nicole and I are going to stick around for the after show. It's always kind of a little more freewheeling. Well, this was kind of freewheeling too. But it's like 15 minutes more of us talking about stuff. If you're interested in that, becoming a patron, there's a link in the show notes here. You go to patreon.com/gardenfork for that. I posted a bunch of stuff recently on the app. So did you get that stuff, Nicole? There's always a link to a video or a picture or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was funny. Affiliate link below.
Oh, yeah. There's a video coming out about a pressure washer. And you'll like it. You'll like the sign I put on it.
The DIY tunneler is always a good time.
I think we'll have to do a show about that because Gabe from Save It For Parts channel on YouTube, yep. He's friends with the guy that digs in Northwest Wisconsin, and he's in the Bloomberg article. I'll link to this article in the show notes here, but DIY tunneling has become a thing now, and Gabe helps this guy who owns this land dig tunnels. It's called Sandland. And he has several videos on his YouTube channel about Sandland. So go to YouTube and type in Save It For Parts Sandland and they'll show up there. All right. So thanks, everyone. Please, radio@gardenfork.tv is always a great way to hear from you. Go out and do cool stuff and make it a great day.
Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.